Good morning. If my message doesn't bring you to attention, the sound system definitely will. Amen? Oh, you know, over the past several weeks, Pastor Joanna has been talking to us about sitting with Jesus. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about that, and I've been thinking how it's challenged me and how it's invited me and how it's encouraged me to practice being in the presence of God. Now, I say practice because sometimes, if you are like me, you get up in the morning and you have your routine and you have all these things to do and you're going here and there, and maybe in all those things, you're not fully aware that God is with you in all those things. Or you're not noticing God so much in those things. So as we begin today, and really what we're doing here is we're going to sit with Jesus, let's join the psalmist David and visit Psalm 139. If you have your Bibles with you or technology with you, go to Psalm 139 or listen along. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, or if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me. Oh, I could ask darkness to hide me, and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate innermost parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born, and every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. O God, if you only would destroy the wicked, get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. O Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Now, I don't know about you, when you read this psalm or when you listened to the psalm read, if that comforted you, if that whole thing brought you great comfort that God is always with you. Or perhaps it might have made you feel a little uneasy inside. Just the thought that God knows every one of my thoughts. Oh, wow. You know? And I guess the first time I really thought about this, not this passage of scripture, but as a young girl at some level, I knew that God was an all-powerful God. And I want to tell you about a time where my brother and I were wrestling in the living room. Now, my mother called that roughhousing. We heard that word a lot. But see, my mom was out in the backyard hanging up the wash to dry, so she couldn't see what we're up to. Now, if I really want to be honest, I should tell you I instigated that rough and tumble activity in the living room, and we were rolling all over the place, and he would pin me, and I would pin him. But the sheer activity of doing that in the living room caused some vibration to occur, and my mom's beautiful cobalt blue vase with inlay of gold, or it looked like real gold to me, had little jewels in it, fell off onto the floor. Now, my brother and I look at one another in sheer fright, and the words in our heads saying, "Oh, we're going to get in trouble." So we scurried over to pick up that vase, and we tried to remember to put that vase back just where my mom had it. And we thought, okay, maybe we won't be found out. Well, 4 days had passed, and there was no mention of anything. But on that fifth day, my mom sat us down, and she said, "Johnny and Susie, can you tell me what happened to my vase?" Oh, my goodness. The gig was up, you know, and my brother and I mustered up as much innocence as we could, and we both said, "I don't know. I don't know." Okay? So my mom wasn't really convinced of our innocence. Moms just kind of know things, I think. So then she said this, and I'll never forget it. She said, "Okay, Johnny and Susie, tonight in my prayers, I'm going to ask God. I'm going to ask God who did it." Well, I wish I could tell you that brought me some comfort that my mom was going to pray to God. But I think at a little girl level, I did have this sense that God knew everything. So that night was the worst night's sleep I ever had. I was tossing and turning, and I began to talk to God, and I said, "Oh, God, if you just don't tell on me, don't tell on me, God. I promise I'll be good from here on out. Please, just don't tell on me." Well, the morning came, and it was breakfast, and my brother and I were seated at the table, and we were eating our cereal. And my mom looked over at us, and somewhat loving, and she said, "Well, I talked to God." And oh my goodness, the sheer pressure got to me, and I blurted out, "I'm sorry, Mom, we didn't mean to do it. We didn't mean to do it." And my brother looked at me in sheer shock, and as if to say, "Now what did you have to go and say that for? Now Mom knows, okay?" Well, I don't know if conviction fell upon me to admit. I don't know if I saw the writing on the wall to admit it. But I think what it said to me was, I knew why I had lied, because I didn't want to get in trouble. Ever been there? You know, you think of all the options you can take, and then sometimes you just leave out the real truth. Well, the reason I like Psalm 139 is it reminds me how David thought about God and what he knew about God during that time he wrote it. See, David wrote this during a time of opposition. And it was meaningful to David because it held some truths that he learned about God during that time. And David was positively overwhelmed by that fact that God knew his thoughts. So David understood that there was nothing inside him that could be hidden from God. Just like me as a little girl. I truly did believe God talked to my mother. David was finding out that it was impossible to think about anything without God being a spectator. Think about this for a moment. Do you realize that God is a spectator of everything we say and do in every moment? Yeah, he's with us. And God had been watching over David. And David writes about his awareness that God had been caring about him from the very beginning, from the time he was in his mother's womb. So how did David know God this way? Well, I don't think it came in one event or one moment. I think it was an accumulative thing. It was his experiences in life of being with God. God used examples in David's life where and his thoughts to show him and to teach him. David discovered that those experiences, the thoughts he had, and the sin that sprung out of his thoughts. David was beginning to see that God could see right into his very own heart. And David had had some things in his life. Maybe we too would admit we've had things in our life where we went down some wrong paths. And we had some stinking thinking, some contaminated thoughts. And then it guided us and took us to places that we wish if we could have a do-over, we could have it. But see, I think sometimes we learn best in that school of hard knocks. It's where we learn a little bit more about ourselves and a little bit more about God. And even though they're painful, we learn that with God, we have a helper. And because God alone is our truth, God alone is our help, and the only one who truly knows our heart. Would you agree? I'd like to think I know my heart. I'd like to think I know myself. But I have to stand here and acknowledge that God knows me far more than I know myself. I think it's important to note in the book of David that he also learned something very important as he was present with God. David learned that if his own heart is right, then the thoughts he will have will become pure thoughts. From David's presence with God, he learned how to posture before God. And guess what he did? We see it here in this psalm. He asked God for a spiritual house cleaning. He asked God to go into his house and do a little cleaning within. He asked God to shine a light, to get rid of the darkness that lurked within his heart. And David knew that light does away with all darkness. And over time with God, David's life was being transformed. And he was becoming more and more intimate with God as he practiced that posture and as he put himself in the presence of God. Which brings me to my first principle. This is a God with life. This is a God with life. This is not life and God, but a God with life. Our lives were always designed to be lived with God in all things, in all places, and in everything. But I fear that our full awareness of this gets lost in the things that compete for our focus. What if we could experience the truth in all our moments each day? What if we could rise in the morning and our first thought and our first words we speak were, God, speak your truths to me? What if our goal throughout each day would be to invite God to shine a light on anything dark within us? What if we gave him permission to put his finger on anything that blocks our channel in being fully with him? And what if in our most frustrating moments, what if we could listen in that moment and then first ask God for what we need? You know, I wonder if we'd be more mindful. And what if in the moment of our sadness, our trials, our losses, and in our grief, we could be mindful at that moment to release it to God and remember that God is with us in those moments. This God with life, though, takes an intentionality. Psalm 139 shows me that God with us paints this picture that God has been with us in all our firsts. You know, he was there when we were in our mother's womb and when we drew our first breath. He was there the first time we were held and when we first became known to others. He was there when we took our first steps and when we got our first boo-boos too. He was there when we formed our first words. In fact, he is here with us right now as we first hear this message, and with us in all our in-betweens, and with us even in our dying process. You know, I see this a lot when I companion others and when I'm doing my hospice work. Sometimes when I go to sit with someone, it might be the very first time I ever met them. And you know, I try to take the posture of sitting with them and sitting with God. What I find myself doing first is listening. Listening to what they say and listening to what they don't say. And all the while I'm doing that, I'm listening to God. And when I'm listening and I hear them say something, I'm whispering to God, what are we going to do with what we just heard? What posture should we take? Should I be silent? Should I speak? Should I console? So, Lord, speak to me. An amazing thing happens when God and I are in this life, in this moment together. I can't tell you the number of times when I've taken that posture and realize I'm not doing this by myself, but it is something I am doing with God, that an illustration will come to my mind. One I hadn't put there, one I thought might be, why am I thinking about pressure cookers right now? Or why am I thinking about this image? And so I just began to talk it out with God and with that person. And then maybe sometimes when I'm sitting with them, a scripture will come to mind that I read years ago, for such a time as this. But I think in order to really have that posture with God, it requires a few things. A few things that we see that Jesus modeled in how he postured. And so I want to share those things with you now. Jesus took a humble posture. Now think about that. Jesus knew all. He sees all. And yet, he took a humble position before that person. And Jesus asked and he prayed during those times with his Heavenly Father. And Jesus knew there was something bigger at stake than just what was happening right now. What would it be like if we realized that our moments with people and our moments of our day, if we could really catch that, that something bigger is going on here, something bigger as is at stake. And so, you know, my second principle is to be present with God. It's about taking that posture like Jesus did, the posture of Christ. You know, Jesus listened and noticed a lot. And he drew on his Father's wisdom. He drew on his Father's wisdom. And he allowed his Father's presence to become known. See, Jesus came with an important purpose, so that we would know that he is Emmanuel, God with us in every aspect of our life. Jesus came so that we could experience that we are fully known and fully loved. He came so that we could be fully alive in his presence. And he came so that we could make him known to others around us, which leads me to this next principle that says our personal relationships and experience with God is what makes God real. Not only to us, but to this world. It's where we tell the stories of how God has worked in our life and how he is working now in our hearts. It's when we tell the stories of how God is bringing change. I am not the same person that I was before. There are stories of how God is bringing you hope. And the stories of how God is bringing you truth. And might we add a truth like, unlike any other truth? See, God isn't only one thing, right? He's not a God that's in our life just to be in our head, but a God who is present and living within us. May we intentionally invite him in so we can live out our purpose, so we can make him known in all things, with all people, in all situations, in all moments of our life. Perhaps when you think about sitting with God, it might be taking the posture in the morning and opening the Word of God, and that might be one way that you do that. It might be listening to music and letting, you know, the music minister and bring you to a closer connection with God. But all of these things, whatever it is, whether we retreat or we get out in creation, all these things can connect us with God, remind us with God. But I think it all starts with an invitation to God when we call on His presence.